It's Brian, your lunatic friend. Back in 1997, I was starting to work on a new record. Imagine that. In the last 3 years, I had 5 albums out. A Spanish record, a Christmas record, and a worship record. But my number one passion was to write my own original songs. And that came in the Slow Revival Project and Blue Skies. My greatest passion is not music, by the way. It is insight. Music is kind of like an emoji at the end of a perfect sentence. I mean, I always hear the music first. Don't get me wrong. Music takes me to emotional places. And the truth is, I don't recognize my own feelings or know what to do with them until I identify what they are and what they mean and what it says about me. After I have a piece of music, I spend countless hours listening to it over and over, putting lyrics together that are coming from somewhere that I don't recognize or feelings that I've never quite defined. And when a song is finished and I'm listening to it back, it's like looking at myself in the mirror. Over my career, I've often been mistaken for a sensitive man, but that's not true. I remember my first wife one time saying, in complete astonishment, I can't believe that you're the same guy that wrote I Love You With My Life. Couldn't seem to imagine that I could have a heathen streak at least a mile wide, and I don't pretend very well. I used to love joking with a friend of mine. In defense of my own fallen nature, I would say, well, 45% of the time, I'm relatively righteous. Now, I know that the record company was trying to get me closer to the center of Christian music with all these spinoff records, especially Christmas Is Jesus and My Utmost for His Highest. Now, they never said, but I don't think it was working. My audience was not growing, at least not enough to warrant the expense. I was at the end of my record contract with this next record, and I was given a significantly lower budget, like $40,000 less. And music was changing, too. I was starting to feel like I was out of date, and I had no idea what to do. I just knew that I had written so many songs that they were starting to sound alike. I was hearing less music on the radio that I liked, and corporate worship was taking over Christian music. The powers that be were looking to make CCM a more musical genre, to be recognized alongside of black gospel or rock, funk, jazz, or country. CCM didn't seem to have a sound. Even Christian rock bands were releasing praise songs because that's what the radio would play. And I decided on a sound from a song that I liked on the radio where the guy was singing, I got a devil's haircut in my mind. And he had a line in that song too that goes, I got 2 turntables and a microphone. It was just kind of bizarre and it stuck in your head. The guy's name was Beck. He was doing a lot of sound sampling, but it still had an R&B flavor to it. And I would start my new record in Glendale, California, in a little home studio. I would be producing this record myself with a friend, Dan Garcia, who was an engineer as well. I think Dan Postum realized, too, that we needed to do something different, and he served as an executive producer rather than producing on hand. But then I also knew that the record company was kind of backing away from me. I knew they were just filling the contract for one more record. There was an overall lack of enthusiasm for the project, and I got an overwhelming sense that I had overstayed my welcome. There wouldn't be a big recording studio or bringing all the players in at once like we used to do. We would use more programming with computers and sound samples, and I would try different kinds of phrasing in my songs, lyrically looking for different words so that we didn't say the same thing the same way. The first song I wrote for this album was called This Love Is What I Get, and the lyrics would reflect feelings that I was having in a place that I'd never been in my life. My career was fading, and so was my family life, for that matter. And I would write, I'm really feeling like nothing in a dozen ways. They say you can't get something for nothing these days. But with my head bowed, dying on a bended knee, I can offer God nothing but the truth about me. But what I was saying was that no matter where I am, whether I'm unknown or just unwanted, when it comes to Jesus, though, this love is what I get. And then I would add at the end of the song, singing in a whispering voice, like I'm telling you a secret, I'm not worthy, I'll admit. But this love is what I get. I would write most of these songs with John Schreiner. You might remember him from the credits on the Sweet Comfort Band projects. Now he was producing other people, and he had a big home studio in Laguna Beach. I would go down there to practice writing songs in a different style by listening to hundreds of loops. A loop is a short clip taken from another piece of music, or in some cases, drum patterns. We would look for infectious rhythms, something that might inspire a whole new song. I remember one cold day in January at the beach, I was at John Schreiner's house. There was a storm somewhere off the coast that was generating huge waves on the beach, and they would come in and crash with such a thunder that even 2 miles away on the hills, you could feel the vibration. And it would inspire a song we would write called Strolling on the Water. Until now, I'd never thought about the idea that Peter might have been terrified for a good reason, stepping out of a boat in the middle of a storm. In Strolling on the Water, I used a real busy opening line. It didn't follow the rhythm of the song, and I wanted to create a sense sense of chaos. I got the idea from Bruce Springsteen. He had a song on the radio at the time called Streets of Philadelphia, where he appeared to mumble through a lot of the song. And I would imagine the chaos that Peter would have experienced stepping out of the boat, and I would sing, "Open up my eyes, I pray. Lord, for just a little glimpse of you. That's all I need. That's all I've ever needed." So when you got to the chorus, the music and the melody would sound like the smoothing of the water. And to help capture that relaxed mood, when you realize that you're not sinking, I started imagining dancing on the water. And I don't know, my sideways thought process, the first thing that came to mind was doing the hokey pokey. And the bridge became really cool, imagining Jesus giving you dancing lessons. Follow me, just let the water flow. Let it go, keep your eyes on me. Do you feel alive? Try turning circles. Bend your knees, hold your hands up high. Can you feel the wind in your hair? With your eyes closed, take a breath of fresh air. Feel the mist on your toes. Look where we are. And John Schreiner does this great bridge with a bass line. Ba-da-da. What can I say? You gotta go hear the song. It's the second time around, it goes ba-da-da-da, do-da-da-da, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Dun, da, da. And that's not just your everyday bridge right there. And this song would go all the way to number 2 in the CCM charts. But it really doesn't sound good to put that in your bio. This song went number 2. I can't remember for sure, but I think Strolling on the Water was the only song that they released as official radio single. But there was one other song that would make radio airplay just on sheer popularity of request. It was called No You Won't, Yes I Will. And it was inspired by a number of those conversations that you have with your kids when they're little. But then I realized I have all those same arguments in my head all the time. And I would sing, "With the war of words begun, the battle for the mind is on. No you won't, yes I will." Now some of our bad feelings about ourselves come from ourselves probably, or low self-esteem. But I think the devil's involved sometimes too. That little voice in your head that says you're nothing special, you got nothing to offer. And don't think I haven't had that conversation with the devil. And this song would become a war cry for a lot of people working through school, or a doctorate, or to become a medical doctor. And this song would become something of an underground hit in the way of pursuing your calling, or simply just overcoming difficulties. And wow, I've only covered 3 songs of the 11 on this project, but I'm afraid we've come to the end of my attention span. But when I say next episode I will pick up where I left off on this project and cover every song, you can say no you won't, and I'll say yes I will. And thanks for your comments too for nutshell sermons, they're only 2 minutes long, as well as songs that didn't make the last record and prayers you won't hear in church. And if you see any value in this, I appreciate your support at nutshellsermons.com/support. And you should know I have quite a few clowns in my gathering. One friend sent me $63.78 with a note attached to it that $60 was for my wife's birthday, and the value of my nutshell sermons was $3.78. And I told him, "Hey, thanks for the raise."